B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah daf mem hey. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, four lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, mitzvahs arova ketzad. We've already discussed a couple of times that there was a mitzvah in the Beis Hamikdash for the 7 days of Sukkahs to do a mitzvah called arova. Something they did with an arova. Not to be confused with the mitzvah of lulav, which in the Beis HaMikdosh was a mitzvah min HaTorah, 7 days to take the four minim, lulav, esrog, hadasim, arovos, and outside the Beis HaMikdosh, the mitzvah min HaTorah is 1 day, just the first day. Here there's a mitzvah arova, that in the Beis HaMikdosh there was a mitzvah all 7 days. Outside the Beis HaMikdosh, there was no mitzvah min HaTorah at all, and there was a discussion if it was just a yesod nevi'im or minig nevi'im discussed previously. Says the Mishnah, mitzvahs arova ketzad, how would they perform this mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdosh? Says the Mishnah, mokim hoyo lematam Yerushalayim, below Yerushalayim there was a place for nikra moitza, it was called moitza, that was the name of the place. And the Gemara is going to discuss why that place had that name. Yerdim l'sham, they would go down to that place called moitza. Umelaktin misham, they would gather from there murbiyos shel arova, branches, large branches of arovis. Uboin and the Kohenim would come v'zoikfin oison b'tzidei mizbeach and stand these arovis on the side of the mizbeach. V'roshen and the heads of the tops of these arovis kfufin al gabei mizbeach, they were bent over onto the top of the mizbeach, which means it wasn't just dragging, touching the top of the mizbeach, they were actually bent over, which means that the arovis went up above the height of the mizbeach, an amo approximately, and then bent over and reached the top of the mizbeach. We learn about that more in the Gemara. And whilst they were doing that, toku v'hariu v'toku, they would, with their trumpets, they would blow a tkiyo, tru and tkiyo, whilst they were doing this mitzvah. And besides for that, or as an extension to placing, standing the arova on the side of the mizbeach, b'chol yoim, every day, makifin es ha-mizbeach, they would go around, the Kohanim would go around the mizbeach, pam achas, just once, v'oimrim, and they would say, ono Hashem hashiyono, they would ask Hashem to save them, ono Hashem atzlichono, and they would ask Hashem for success. Rabbi Yehuda says that they would say, ani v'hoi hashiyono, the word ani and the word v'hoi are two names of the 72 names. There's a 72 names of Hashem, which are learnt from some psukim, and the first one is Vahoy, and the 37th one is Ani, and these two names are mentioned, Hoshia or not, and they were asking Hashem, referring to Hashem by these two names, to save them. And on Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkos, Makifin es HaMizbeach, they would actually go around the Mizbeach, Sheva Pa'omim, seven times. And the Gemara previously discussed whether they went round the Mizbeach with the Arova, or did they go round the Mizbeach with the Lulav. Bashas Ptiros, and when they departed from the Mizbeach, Mahin Umrim, what would they say? They would say, Yoifi Lecho Mizbeach. They would refer to the Mizbeach, and they would say, Yoifi Lecho, the beauty is on you. Yoifi Lecho Mizbeach. Your Mizbeach are beautiful. Rabbi Eliezer would say, Lecho V'lecho, to Hashem and to you, Mizbeach. Lecho to Hashem, U'lecho Mizbeach, and to you, Mizbeach. So to speak, saying that the beauty is on Hashem and on the Mizbeach. We'll see in the Gemara, there's no such thing as pairing Hashem with somebody else. And actually, what, according to Eliezer, what they would say is they would say one thing, Lecho to Hashem, and they would say something else to the Mizbeach, but they would not actually pair Hashem with the Mizbeach. We'll see that in the Gemara. Kamaseyu b'choil, kach maseyu b'shabbos, the same that they would do on the weekdays, they would also do on Shabbos. And obviously this is talking about if the seventh day of Sukkos was on Shabbos. If then they would do on the Shabbos the same as they would do all the other days of Sukkos. If, however, any of the other days of Sukkos was on Shabbos, as we've learnt in the previous Gemara, they would not take the Arava on Shabbos. But what would they do if Hoshana Rabbah was on Shabbos? Then how would they deal with the Aravas? They can't bring them, you can't take them through the Rishus Arabim to the Beis HaMikdash. What would they do? Elo Shoyim Melaktin Oison Me'erev, they would gather together these branches of the aravos from before Shabbos. Me'erev means before Shabbos. Umanichen say they would place them begigiyos shel zav in barrels, in golden barrels that were filled with water. Kadei sheloi yichmoishu, they shouldn't wilt. Rabbi Yechanan ben Barai kaimer charoyos shel dekel hoyu mevien. Interesting. Rabbi Yechanan ben Barai says they would actually bring branches of palms, which is, some Rishonim say it's actually they would bring lulavim, others would say that they wouldn't take these branches in their lulav state, rather in a stage later when they've already become hardened and the leaves are spread out, they would bring these branches of the palm trees. V'chayv tinoise bekarka, they would beat them, they would beat these branches of the palms onto the ground, betzidei mizbeach, next to the mizbeach. V'ois hayom, in that day, when they would do that, which is the Hoshana Rabbah, Nikra is called Chavut Charoyos, is the day when they would beat the branches. The last statement in the Mishnah, that on this last day of Sukkot, on Hoshana Rabbah, Miyad Tinoikos Shem Tines Lulavim, the older people, the adults, they would grab away from the children, their Lulavim, V'oichlin, and they would eat Esregim, the Esregim of the young people, of the minors, of the children. And Rashi says that there was no issue here of gezel, of stealing, or of a lack of Darkei Shalim, because since it was done out of Simcha, and therefore everyone was okay with it. Says the Gemara, Tana, Mokim Kelanya Hava. This place where the Aravos would be grown was a place called Kelanya. The word Kelanya, the translation of the word Kelanya, is a place which was tax-free. V'tana didon, maik tam mekori le'moitza. Why does our Mishnah call the place that was tax-free? Why does the Tana call it moitza? Says the Gemara, aidu de meipuk mikrar karago de malka. Since they were exempted and excluded from the taxes of the king, kori le'moitza, the word moitza actually means an exception, an exclusion, and that's why this place was called moitza. Continues the Gemara. Uboyin v'zoikfin oitzoi oison betzidei ha-mizbeach. They would stand the aravos on the side of the mizbeach. Says the Gemara. Tana, we learnt in the Braisa, rabois, some say it's rakois, they were soft, these branches, they had some bendability to them. Others say rabois, there were many, va'arukois, they were long, ugvoyois, they were how tall? Achadas re'ama, 11 amas tall were these branches of the aravos that were stood next to the mizbeach. Why? Kedei sheyu goichos al hamizbeach amo, in order that they could lean over and bend over onto the mizbeach an amo, which means that the arava would go up above the mizbeach an amo and then bend down an amo and touch the top of the mizbeach. Omer mereimu mishum marzutra. Shema mino, from here we can deduce that al hayesoid monachlohu. And many of us will recall the structure of the mizbeach. How was it built? There was a single amma which was the base of the mizbeach. And then there was beyond the base, there was a 5 amois going up, which means the base was 32 by 32 square amois. And the next part of the mizbeach was an amma short on all sides. It was 30 amos by 30 amos, and that would raise up an extra 5 amos. And then there was a type of a ledge called the saiviv, and then there would be 28 amos by 28 amos grazing up another 3 amos. So you're now 9 amos off the ground, and that was the top of the mizbeach. On the corner, on the four corners of the mizbeach, there were an amma by an amma, these horns, so to speak, these kronos, these corners protruding from each corner of the mizbeach, and the top of these corners was 10 amos off the ground. So Mareima was saying, in the name of Marzutra, that since the Braisa says that these aravos were 11 amos high, and the Braisa says that they were bent over, they were leaning over, they were not just dragging and just touching the top of the mizbeach, but they were bending down onto the top of the mizbeach, which means that the arava themselves must have reached approximately an amma above the top of the mizbeach. It must be that the aravas were actually standing on the base of the mizbeach, not on the ground. Because if they were standing on the ground, then it was 9 amis up till the top of the mizbeach, another amma, not another amma, well, you took an extra space because you had to lean them, the arava, if it was standing on the ground, then it had to be leaning because there was an amma of yesoid, an amma of soiviv, until it would reach the top of the mizbeach. That means the floor, the ground, furthest away from, the closest to the mizbeach, but the ground furthest away from the top of the mizbeach was 2 amos away. So to have that rava standing on the floor, leaning over for 2 amos and 9 amos high, then if the whole arava was only 11 amas high, then it would not be able to be bending over onto the top of the arava. It would just about be touching the top of the mizbeach. And if it says it was bending over onto the mizbeach, it must be it was standing on the yisoid, and therefore there was only a height of 8 amas high till you reached the top. Then you had only an amma to go to lean over on over the ledge, which was an amma sticking out. And then you still had an extra 2 amos approximately to go up an amma above the top of the mizbeach and then lean down onto the mizbeach, and then it all makes sense. Let's see that inside. Shema minno, we see that Ali Yesoid Monach Lehu, that the rava was standing on the base, not on the ground, an amma below it and an amma further away. Because if you assume that the rava was standing on the ground, mechta, let's work it out. Olo amma, the mizbeach was an amma high, the base of it, v'kinis amma, and an amma step, that means the mizbeach would go in an amma. Is that what you saw? That was the base of the mizbeach. Olo chomesh, it went up, the wall of the mizbeach then went up 5 amos, v'kinis amma, and then went in another amma. Zeh soiviv, that was the ledge. And then olo sholish, it went up another 3 amos. And then zehu mokim akronis, that was the top of the mizbeach, which is where the 4 corners were positioned. Then how is it possible that these aravos were bent over an amma, which means they went up above the top of the mizbeach an amma and then down, leaning over the mizbeach? How would that be possible if it was standing on the ground? Elolav shma mino, it must be a yisoid monach, they were standing on the base. Monach luhu shma mino, standing on the base, so you only had an amma to go across, 8 amas high, so that's 9 amas approximately, and then you had an extra 2 amas because they were 11 amas high, they had an extra 2 amas to go up and then bend down an amma. Continues the Gemara, Omer Bavo, Mikra, where is this alluded to in a posuk that the rovers would actually go up above the top of the mizbeach an amma and then bend over? Shenema has learnt out from a posuk that we say in Tehillim, Kel Hashem Vayor Lonu Isru Chag. That means the circle on Yom Tov ba'avoisim with the branches ad kaunis hamizbeach, until you reach the corners of the mizbeach. The corners of the mizbeach were protruding an amma above the top of the mizbeach. The rovers should reach all the way till the top of the corners, an amma above, and then bend down and touch the top of the mizbeach. And that would be the source, says Reb Avo, of this halacha, of this custom. Continues the Gemara. Omer Bavo, now we're going to have another couple of explanations or different ways of reading this same pasuk. Omer Belozo, kol anoitel lulav ba'agudoy. Anyone who takes a lulav, which is bound with the hadasim in aravos, v'hadas ba'avoisoy, and you take hadasim which are plaited, that means that they're beautiful hadasim, that from every point on the whole hadas, you've got 3 leaves protruding. If somebody goes out of his way to have to make beautiful lulavim, to bind the lulav, and beautiful adasim that are fully plaited, then it's ki'ilu bono mizbeach, it's viewed, the posuk views it as if he built a mizbeach, v'hikriv olav korban, and brought on it a korban, shenemar, as it says in the posuk, isru chag, when you bind the lulav of the Yom Tov, ba'avoisim, with hadasim which are ovois, which are plaited, ad kaunis hamizbeach, it's considered as if you brought a korban on the mizbeach onto the corners of the mizbeach. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, v'Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ha-Machoizi mishum Rabbi Yochanan ha-Makuti. They said a different elaboration on this pasuk. Kol ha'oise isur lechag, anyone who joins the Yom Tov ba'achila with food, v'shtia and with drinking. And Rashi brings 2 explanations, either that he's he's being ma'aneg, he's bringing delight to the Yom Tov with food and drink. Or a second explanation, it's not talking about Yom Tov, it's talking about the day after Yom Tov that we often refer to as Isru Chag. Then Ma'ale Olav HaKosov, the Pasuk views it, Ki'ilu Bono Mizbeach Vikri Olav Korban. Shnemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Isru Chag. If you join the Yom Tov, Ba'avoisim, here the word Avoisim means fattened animals, which is the food that you're bringing for the Chag, then Ad Karnis HaMizbeach, it's considered as if you brought a korban and sprinkled the blood on the corners of the mizbech. Continues the Gemara. We just mentioned that Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai an explanation in the pasuk of Isru Chag Ba'avoisim Ad Karnis HaMizbech. So the Gemara is now going to bring another few quotes from Rabbi Chizkiah in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The first one being Kol HaMitzvos Kulon, all the mitzvos Ein Odom Yotze Behen Elo Derech Gediloson. Those mitzvahs which are done with something that grows, for example, the beams that were used in the Mishkan, they were from Atzei Shittim, they were from cedar wood. All the lulav, the adasim, the arovas that we use with the lulav, they are all from made of natural materials that grow. Then they have to be used derech gedilusam, in the manner in which they grew. The top at the top and the bottom at the bottom. The beams in the Mishkan had to be upright. The top, whichever part of the beam was on the top of the tree or high up on the tree when it was growing, had to be upwards when it was put up for the Mishkan. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'osisa es akroshim, that you should make the beams, la Mishkan, for the Mishkan, atzei shittim, from cedar wood, oimdim, standing. What would oimdim say? Stand them in the manner that they grew. Tani Nami Ochim, we saw Brisa to this effect, atzei shittim, oimdim, sha'oimdim derech gedilusam. They're standing there in a manner in which they grew. And the same would apply to the lulav, the adasim, the arovas, they have to be upright. The top of the adasim, arovas, and lulav have to be at the top, and you're not allowed to have them upside down. Dovar achir, oimdim, others say that when it speaks about the beams of the Mishkan, they were oimdim, what it means is, shema'amidim es tzipuyon. Not that they're standing, but they are supporting the plating on it, and because the plating was screwed or nailed into the beams, so these beams were supporting the plating of these beams. There was a gold plating, there were gold plates that were covered the beams, and they would be nailed into these beams. Dava Acher, another explanation, oimdim. What does it mean that the beams of the Mishkan, oimdim, are standing? Shema Toima, are you going to suggest or think that once the Mishkan is no longer in use, and it's been put away, then Ovad Sivrom, Ubotel Sikuyom, their promise is lost and their hope is also is null, is now no more hope. Talmud Lema, that's why it says no. Atzei Shittim, those cedar woods, the beams of the Mishkan, Oimdim, they're standing. Sha'oimdim la'olam ul'olam yalomim. They're going to be standing forever. They were in hiding. It's true they've been put away, but they're going to exist forever. They're never going to become rotten. They're never going to waste away. Another quote in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Yochel ani lifter es kol ha'olam kulay min adin. Rabbi Shimon says that I can be civil, I can hold all the averus of the whole world, that means I can exempt them from the judgment, miyem shenivresi, from the day that I was born, ad ata, until now, says Rabbi Shimon, I can tolerate all those averus. Vilmoli Eliezer b'ni imi, and if my son Eliezer would be with me, then we would be able to hold and to tolerate the averus and exempt the world from judgment, miyem shenivraylam, from the day that the world was created, v'ad achshav, until now. Vilmoli Yosam ben Uziah, if the king Yosam, the son of Uziah, who was very righteous and very humble, and in particular, he was very careful with the mitzvah of Kibud Av, even though his father, who was the king, was supposed to be the king, became a Metzera, and it was Yosam, the son, that was actually practicing the leading the nation, nonetheless, he refused to put the crown of the kingdom on him all while that his father was alive, and whenever he would say a ruling, he would say it in the name of his father. And he was particularly careful with Kibbud Av, and therefore, if Yosam ben Uziah would be with us, so to speak, with Reb Shimon and his son Reb Eliezer, then miyom shenivra olam va'atzoifoi, we could exempt the world from judgment from the day the world was created until the end of the world. Another quote in the name of Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Ra'isi b'nei aliyah. I saw people who had reached the highest levels, those that could actually receive mekabel, the p'nei ha-shechina. They could perceive and feel Hashem's existence, the shechina. V'hein mu'atin. I see from the way people are acting that there's not many people who are in that bracket. They're very few. Im elef hein, if there's 1,000 of them in the world, ani u'bni mehem, then me and my son Reb Eliezer son of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, is part of those 1,000. Im me'ohim, if there's only 100 of them in the world, ani u'bni mehem, then I and my son are amongst them. Im shnayim heim, if there's only 2 such people in the world, ani u'bni heim, then it's me and my son. Asks the Gemara, umizutra kulehai, are there so few? Can it possibly be that there are so few bnei aliyah, people who can be mekabel, they can receive the shechina? Va'omar Rava, did Rava not teach us that tamnis sri alfi, 18,000 dora rows, hava dekamei kutubrichu, that were before Hashem, and those rows were rows of righteous people, tzaddikim, who were receiving the shechina. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel, soviv, that around the shechina is shmoina osa olef, v'shem ha'ir miyoyim Hashem shoma, and the pasuk is referring to the people close to the shechina, and there were 18,000 rows. So how can you say that there was 1,000, 100, 2? There were many more than that. Says the Gemara, loy kasha. Hay de mistakli bas baklaria meira, ha de loy mistakli bas baklaria meira. It depends with what type of screen, so to speak, they were perceiving the Shechina. There are those who are receiving the Shechina with a very clear screen in aspaklaria meira, and that there's very few of them around, mu'atinheim. However, those who are receiving the Shechina in a lesser level, so to speak, through a non-clear screen, there's many more, as we saw, there's 18,000 rows of these tzaddikim before the Shechina. Asks the Gemara, Udumistakli bas baklaria meiro mizutra kulehai, and those who are perceiving the Shechina with a clear screen are so few, like you said before, that it could be there's only 2 of them, you and Reb Shimon and his son. V'ha'omar abai, did abai not teach us, lo ipochis alma, there's never less in the world, mitlosin v'shisa, tzadikim, demikable apeshchina, b'chol yoyim, there's always at least 36 tzadikim that are receiving and perceiving the shchina every day. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, in Yeshaya, l'chein yechake Hashem lechananchem, u'lechein yorum l'rachemchem, ke elukei mishpot Hashem, ashrei praiseworthy, kol choichei loit, all those who await, loit to him, await for him. But the Gemara says that what the pasuk is also alluding to is praiseworthy for those who wait, loy, for those 36. Lamadvav, the word loy is spelled lamadvav. But Gematri has the numerical value of tlosin v'shisa, 36 hava. So you see there's always at least 36 tzaddikim that are receiving the shechina. How can you say that there are so few, maybe just 2? Says the Gemara, loy kashya, that's not a question. Ha da'aylo, Bebar, hada aile beloy bar. Those 36, when they perceive the Shechina, they go into the Shechina, they need to have permission. Hada aile beloy bar. But those which are very mu'otin heim, those that are very few, those are the ones that can actually go into the Shechina even without permission. Continues the Gemara. Beshas patiroson mahin oimrim. What did we see in the Mishnah? That when they would take leave of the Mizbeach on the 7th day of Sukkot on Yoshana Rabbah, what would they say? So the Tanakhama says they would say, Yoifi lechom Mizbeach, Yoifi lechom Mizbeach, that the you Mizbeach are beautiful. Rebbe Eliezer would say that they would say, Lecha u'lecha Mizbeach, to Hashem and to the Mizbeach, there's beauty. Asks the Gemara against Rabbi Elazar. You're pairing Hashem with something else. V'tani, we learnt in the Braisa, anyone who pairs Hashem with something else, nekar, gets uprooted min olam, from the world. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in the Chumash, zeveach lilikim yochram, bilti l'Hashem levadoi, only to Hashem alone. You're not allowed to pair anything with Hashem. Answers the Gemara that actually what Rabbi Elazar was saying is that we're mentioning two different things, l'cha and l'cha. We're not pairing the two together, chas v'shalom. We're saying one thing about and to Hashem and something else about the Mizbeach. L'cha, to Hashem, anachnu moidim. We admit and we acknowledge that you're the only power in the world and there's no other power. U'l'cha, and to the Mizbeach, onu mashabchim, we give praise, because you, Mizbeach, must be very dear to Hashem if through the Mizbeach, through the Korbonus, the Klal Yisrael get atoned. L'cha anachnu moidim, u'l'cha anu mekalsim. Again, to Hashem, we are moidim, we admit and we acknowledge that He's the only power, and according to the version of the Vilna Gaon, it says mevorchim, so to speak, we bless. U'l'cha anu the Mizbeach anu mekalsim, we sing praise again, because Hashem has chosen the Mizbeach to which to atone for Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, k'maseyu b'choil, etc. And what do we see in the Mishnah? That k'maseyu b'choil, kach maseyu b'shabbos, etc. And then the Gemara goes on to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka held that they would take branches of the palms and they would beat them on the ground on next to the Mizbeach, and that day would be called Chavoit Charoyos, the day that the palm branches were being beaten. Says the Gemara, Omer of Huna, my Talmud Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka, what would be the source of Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka that they would bring a lulav on Hoshana Rabbah to beat onto the ground? Says the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk, ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon, and we've seen this Pasuk a few times, you take a pre-eitz hodah, the lulav, kapois tamorim, pre-eitz hodah is the esrog, kapois tamorim is the lulav, and the lulav is called kapois tamorim. In the Chumash, it's written chof pei tof, as if it says kapas tamorim, a single branch of a palm tree. But when you read it, kapois, it's in plural tense. So Tachsiv, it says kapois. Since we read it in plural, shnayim is two. There's two concepts of lulav. Achas lulav, one lulav you use for the arba minim with the lulav we're all familiar with. V'achas lemizbeach, Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka says they would bring another branch of the lulav tree, possibly another lulav, and they would bring that to the mizbeach and next to the mizbeach, and they would beat it. V'rabbonon Omri, the Rabbonon who seemed to argue the Yochanan ben Bereka and say that they didn't use to bring a lulav to beat next to the Mizbeach. Kapas Ksiv, they say that if you look in the Chumash, it's true that you read it kapois, as if there's two, but it's written without the Vav, as if there's just one kapas, there's only one lulav. Reb Levi gives another explanation. Why would they bring a lulav and beat it onto the ground next to the Mizbeach? Rashi says that it's a simon yofa, it's a very nice sign, lekiluson shel Yisrael, in praise of Klal Yisrael. There's something about the lulav which shows for what we really worth, who we really are. Because the palm tree is ketomor, like the palm, ma tomor, like this date, ma tomor zeh, ein le'elo lev echod, like this, the date palm only has sap in its trunk, and the sap does not go into the branches or into the leaves, unlike other trees. It only has a single source, a single heart, so to speak, which is in its trunk. Af Yisrael, so to Klal Yisrael, ein lehem elo lev echod laviyem shebashamayim. They only have one heart. Their heart is entirely and exclusively to their father in Shamayim, to Hashem. And this is a tremendous praise for Klal Yisrael, which is why they would bring the lulavim to the Mizbeach on Sukkos. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.